in the 50th verse of the previous chapter, Narada Muni gave Yudhisthira Maharaj a hint of the Lord's imminent departure, or that the Lord, he would soon learn that the Lord, it would be imminent that he learn of the Lord's departure. So he said in text 50, the Lord has already performed his duties to help the demigods. In other words, his mission had been completed. You Pandavas may wait as long as the Lord is here on earth. So you stay on earth as long as the Lord is on earth. In other words, when the Lord departs from this world, that will be your signal for your own departure, your own leaving. Then, in the first verse of the 14th chapter, which is entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna, Suta Goswami said, Arjuna went to Dwarka to see Lord Sri Krishna and other friends, and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities. So Arjuna, after some time had passed, he went to Dwarka to associate with Lord Krishna. And during the time he was present in Dwarka, some events occurred. We'll read about them from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. This is from 11.6.21, and we'll read, I'll tell you when, the last verse, yes, we'll read to text 32. While Krishna was in Dwarka, Lord Brahma and the other demigods appeared there. And Brahma said to Lord Krishna, my dear Lord, previously we requested you to remove the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled. My Lord, you have reestablished the principles of religion amongst pious men who are always firmly bound to the truth. You have also distributed your glories all over the world, and thus the whole world can be purified by hearing about you. Descending into the dynasty of King Yadu, you have manifested your unique transcendental form, and for the benefit of the entire universe, you have executed magnanimous transcendental activities. My dear Lord, those pious and saintly persons who in the age of Kali hear about your transcendental activities and also glorify them will easily cross over the darkness of this age. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O my Lord, you have descended into the Yadu dynasty and thus you have spent 125 autumns with your devotees. My dear Lord, there is nothing remaining at this time for your lordship to do on behalf of the demigods. You have already withdrawn your dynasty by the curse of the Brahmanas. So that curse had already taken place, although the fact of the withdrawal hadn't occurred in time, but it was actually as good as if it was done because Krishna had already set it up and it was moving. Just like if there is one domino after another domino after another domino. Do they have dominoes in India? No. Anyway, one piece of wood of some sort. And you push one and that falls into the next one. And the last one may not have fallen, but the chain of events is already in motion and it's inevitable. So Brahma was speaking as if it was already done. You have already withdrawn your dynasty by the curse of the Brahmanas. O Lord, you are the basis of everything. And if you so desire, kindly return now to your own abode in the spiritual world. At the same time, we humbly beg that you always protect us. We are your humble servants, and on your behalf we are managing the universal situation. We, along with our planets and followers, require your constant protection. So Lord Krishna and Dwarka replied to Brahma, O Lord of the demigods, Brahma, I understand your prayers and request. Having removed the burden of the earth, I have executed everything that was required on your behalf. That very Yadava dynasty in which I appeared became greatly magnified in opulence, especially in their physical strength and courage, to the extent that they threatened to devour the whole world. Therefore, I have stopped them, just as the shore holds back the great ocean. If I were to leave this world without withdrawing the overly proud members of the outer dynasty, the whole world would be destroyed by the deluge of their unlimited expansions. Now, due to the Brahmin's curse, the annihilation of my family has already begun. O sinless Brahma, when this annihilation is finished and I am en route to Vaikuntha, I will pay a small visit to your abode. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, thus addressed by the Lord of the universe, the self-born Brahma fell down in obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord. Surrounded by all the demigods, the great Brahma then returned to his personal abode. So that was the second point in the announcement of the departure of Krishna and the Yadu dynasty from this world. And then we know what happened, that the Lord and all the Yadus, including Balaramji, went to Prabhachetra, and in a great battle, everyone except for Balaram and a few others was killed. But this was just actually pastime, and the demigods were leaving for their own abodes because the Leela, the drama, the pastimes were now complete. Krishna was going to depart. So after that took place, Lord Balaram meditated by the ocean and he departed. And then it became time for Krishna himself to leave. This is chapter 31 of the 11th canto, the final chapter. And Krishna arrived, just before Krishna was about to depart, Lord Brahma arrived at Prabhas along with Lord Shiva and his consort, the sages, the Prajapatis, and all the demigods headed by Indra. Actually, I'm going to read before that from text 30. Lord Balaram, this is from text 26 of chapter 30. Lord Balaram then sat down on the shore of that ocean and fixed himself in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Merging himself within himself, he gave up this material world. Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, having seen the departure of Lord Ram, sat down silently on the ground under a nearby peepal tree. The Lord was exhibiting his brilliant effulgent forearm form, the radiance of which, just like a smokeless fire, dissipated the darkness of all directions. His complexion was the color of a dark blue cloud, and his effulgence the color of molten gold. Raise your hand if you've ever seen molten gold, the color. We say taptakan chana gorangi. It's incredible. It's gold, yes, it's gold, but it's effulgent. It's so effulgent, yes? Very effulgent. I went to a gold mint. I took my son there years ago just so we could see this. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's complexion and Srimati Radharani's complexion and is compared to sometimes lightning, and Krishna's dhoti, lightning. And sometimes, of course, especially Srimati Radharani and Mahaprabhu, to molten gold. It's sort of, it's a wonderful color. It's gold with some red, but it's so effulgent. So Krishna began to display this dark blue cloud, displaying the effulgence of molten gold, and his all-auspicious form bore the mark of Srivats. A beautiful smile graced his lotus face. Locks of dark blue hair adorned his head. His lotus eyes were very attractive, and his shark-shaped earrings glittered. He wore a pair of silk garments, an ornamental belt, the sacred thread bracelets and arm ornaments, along with a helmet, the kastuba jewel, necklaces, anklets, and other royal emblems. Encircling his body were flower garlands and his personal weapons in their embodied forms. As he sat, he held his left foot with its right lotus sole upon his right thigh. Just then, a hunter named Jara, who had approached the place, mistook the Lord's lotus foot for a deer's face. Thinking he had found his prey, Jara pierced the foot with his arrow, which he had fashioned from the remaining iron fragment of Sambhu's club. That was from the point of view of the hunter that he pierced it. Then, seeing that forearm personality, the hunter became terrified of the offense he had committed, and he fell down, placing his head upon the feet of the enemy of the demons. Jara said, "O Lord Madhusudan, I am a most sinful person. I have committed this act out of ignorance. O purest Lord, O Tamasloka, please forgive this sinner. O Lord Vishnu, the learned say that for any man, constant remembrance of you will destroy the darkness of ignorance. O Master, I have wronged you. Therefore, O Lord of Vaikuntha, please kill this sinful hunter of animals immediately, so that he may not again commit such offenses against such saintly persons." Neither Brahma nor his sons, headed by Rudra, nor any of the great sages who are masters of the Vedic mantras, can understand the function of your mystic power. Because your illusory potency has covered their sight, they remain ignorant of how your mystic power works. Therefore, what can I, such a low-born person, possibly say? And the Lord replied to him, "My dear Jara, do not fear. Please get up. What has been done is actually my own desire. With my permission, go now to the abode of the pious, the spiritual world." So instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who assumes his transcendental body by his own will, the hunter circumambulated the Lord three times and bowed down to him. Then the hunter departed in an aeroplane that had appeared just to carry him to the spiritual sky. At that time, Daruka was searching for his master, Krishna. So all this, of course, is happening by Krishna's arrangement. And this hunter was actually Bhrigu Muni. And due to his having kicked the chest of the Lord, as described towards the end of the 10th canto, he had to play this part, this unpleasant part in the drama of the Lord's disappearance. But yet, we all have our parts to play in the drama of life and of Krishna consciousness. So Daruka had his part too, and by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's chariot driver appeared. As he neared the place where the Lord was sitting, he perceived the aroma of tulsi flowers in the breeze and went in its direction. Upon seeing Lord Krishna resting at the foot of a banyan tree, surrounded by his shining weapons, Daruka could not control the affection he felt in his heart. His eyes filled with tears as he rushed down from the chariot and fell at the Lord's lotus feet. Daruka said, Just as on a moonless night, people are merged into darkness and cannot find their way. Now that I have lost sight of your lotus feet, my Lord, I have lost my vision and I'm wandering blindly in darkness. I cannot tell my direction, nor can I find any peace. Sukadeva Goswami continued, O foremost of kings, while the chariot driver was still speaking before his very eyes, the Lord's chariot rose up into the sky along with its horses and its flag, which was marked with the emblem of Garuda. All the divine weapons of Vishnu rose up and followed the chariot. The Lord, Janardhan, then spoke to his chariot driver, who was most astonished to see all this. O driver, Lord Janardhan said, Krishna said, go to Dwarka and tell our family members how their loved ones destroyed one another. Also tell them of the disappearance of Lord Shankarshan, who is, and also of my present condition. You and your relatives should not remain in Dwarka. So he was going, Daruka was going to carry a message from Krishna. Dwarka, don't remain there, the capital city of the Yadavs, because once I have abandoned that city, it will be inundated by the sea. You should all take your own families together with my parents, and under Arjuna's protection, go to Indraprastha. You, Daruka, should be firmly situated in devotion to me, remaining fixed in spiritual knowledge and unattached to material considerations. Understanding these pastimes to be a display of my illusory potency, you should remain peaceful. Thus ordered, Daruka circumambulated the Lord and offered obeisances to him again and again. He placed Lord Krishna's lotus feet upon his head and then with a sad heart went back to the city. Then Lord Brahma arrived to Prabhas along with Lord Shiva and his consort, the sages, the Prajapatis, and all the demigods, headed by Indra, also arrived. The forefathers, Siddhis, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, and great serpents also came, along with the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Rakshasas, the Kanaras, the Apsaras, and relatives of Garuda, greatly eager to witness the departure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As they were coming, all these personalities variously chanted and glorified the birth and activities of Lord Saori, Krishna. O King, crowding the sky with their many airplanes, they showered down flowers with great devotion. Seeing before him Brahma, the grandfather of the universe, along with the other demigods, who are all his personal and powerful expansions, the Almighty Lord closed his lotus eyes, fixing his mind within himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here's the purport, quite interesting. According to Sridhar Swami, Lord Krishna had previously answered the prayers of Lord Brahma and other demigods who had requested the Lord to descend within this universe for the protection of his servants, the demigods. Now the demigods arrived before the Lord, each one desiring to take the Lord to his own planet. To avoid these innumerable social obligations, the Lord closed his eyes as if absorbed in samadhi. Srila Jiva Goswami adds that Lord Krishna closed his eyes to instruct the yogis how to leave this mortal world without attachment to one's mystic opulences. All the demigods, including Brahma, are mystic expansions of Lord Krishna, and yet the Lord closed his eyes to emphasize that one should fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead when departing from this world. Without employing the mystic Agneya meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is all attractive resting place of all the worlds and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna entered into his own abode. As soon as Lord Krishna left the earth, truth, religion, faithfulness, glory, and beauty immediately followed him. Kettle drums resounded in the heavens and flowers showered from the sky. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, all the demigods were jubilant because each one thought Lord Krishna was coming to his own planet. Most of the demigods and other beings, higher beings, led by Brahma, could not see Lord Krishna as he was entering his own abode, since he did not reveal his movements. But some of them did catch sight of him, and they were extremely amazed. Just as ordinary men cannot ascertain the path of a lightning bolt as it leaves a cloud, the demigods could not trace out the movements of Lord Krishna as he returned to his abode. A few of the demigods, however, notably Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, could ascertain how the Lord's mystic power was working, and thus they became astonished. All the demigods praised the Lord's mystic power and then returned to their own planets. My dear King, Sukadeva Goswami said, you should understand that the Supreme Lord's appearance and disappearance, which resemble those of embodied conditioned souls, are actually a show enacted by his illusory energy, just like the performance of an actor. After creating this universe, he enters into it, plays within it for some time, and at last winds it up. Then the Lord remains in his own transcendental glory, having ceased from the functions of cosmic manifestations. One last other part. Daruka delivered the account of the total destruction of the Vrishnis, and upon hearing this, O Parikit, the people became deeply distraught in their hearts and stunned with sorrow. Feeling the overwhelming pain of separation from Krishna, they struck their own faces while hurrying to the place where their relatives lay dead. When Devaki, Rohini, and Vasudeva could not find their sons, Krishna and Ram, they lost consciousness out of anguish, because everyone went to purport. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the original Devaki, Rohini, and other ladies of Dwarka actually remained in Dwarka, invisible to the eyes of the material world, whereas the demigods, who represented partial aspects of Devaki, Rohini, and so on, went to Prabhas to see their dead relatives. Tormented by separation from the Lord, his parents gave up their lives at that very spot. My dear Parikit, the wives of the Yadavas then climbed onto the funeral pyres, embracing their dead husbands. The wives of Lord Balaram also entered the fire and embraced his body, and Vasudev's wives entered his fire and embraced his body. The daughters-in-laws of Lord Hari entered the funeral pyres of their respective husbands. In this way, all the Leela is just being completely wound up. Arjuna felt great distress over separation from Lord Krishna, his dearmost friend, but he consoled himself by remembering the transcendental words the Lord had sung to him. What are those words? Bhagavad Gita. And there's some specific slokas he remembered at this time. Naham prakacha svavasa. This is according to Srila Swami. Yogamaya samamrita mudayam nabijananti lokomam ajamavyayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my eternal creative potency. And so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. And Jiva Goswami has mentioned, and we'll talk about this later. There's a bunch of verses. But at least he has mentioned, Mam evyasyati satyam te pratijane priyosume. What verse is that? The last line of? Manmana bhavamadbhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Mam evyasyati satyam te pratijane. I promise you this, asamsayam, without a doubt. Two times he promises, satyam te pratijane. Arjuna then saw to it that the funeral rites were properly carried out for the dead who had no remaining male family members. He executed the required ceremonies for each of the Yadus one after another. As soon as Dwarka was abandoned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ocean flooded it on all sides, O King, sparing only his palace. Lord Madhusudan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is eternally present in Dwarka. It is the most auspicious of all auspicious places, and merely remembering it destroys all contamination. Arjuna took the survivors of the Yadu dynasty, the women, children, and old men, to Indraprastha, where he installed Vajra as ruler of the Yadus. One more verse we'll read, and then we'll start. 1:15:36, very close to chapter 14. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, left this earthly planet in his selfsame form, from that very day, Kali, who had already partially appeared just after the Battle of Kurukshetra, became fully manifest to increase inauspicious conditions for those who were endowed with a poor fund of knowledge. Prabhupada's purport explains, the age of Kali ensued just after the Battle of Kurukshetra, but it could not exert its influence because of the presence of the Lord. The Lord, however, left this earthly planet in his own transcendental body, and as soon as he left, the symptoms of Kali Yuga were envisioned by Maharaj Yudhisthira. And now we will start chapter 14. Kali had begun. Kali Yuga has begun. Arjuna went to Dwarka. We just heard that. To see Lord Krishna and his other friends, and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities. A few months passed, and Arjuna did not return. Maharaj Yudhisthira then began to observe some inauspicious omens which were fearful in themselves. So Maharaj Yudhisthira became frightened because Arjuna had not returned, and these inauspicious symptoms became manifest, and in his heart he began to fear that Lord Krishna may have departed from this world. He saw that the directions of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry, and deceitful, and he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, none of these symptoms had occurred. Due to Krishna's presence, and also due to the perfect rule of Maharaj Yudhisthira. So when Maharaj Yudhisthira saw this, we'll read from the second half of the purport, he was astonished to experience even a slight change in the godly atmosphere of his kingdom, and he at once suspected the disappearance of the Lord. And then later on, a man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life, and when he thinks that this earthly life of a few years is all in all. Ignorance is the cause for all these anomalies in human society, and to remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is further about the symptoms that he saw. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends. And in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers and between brothers, even between husband and wife. There was always strain and quarrel. Prabhupada's purport to this verse explains some of these disturbing symptoms of Kali Yuga. And in the end of the purport, he offers a cure. But all these contending difficulties can be mitigated by one process, and that is the devotional service of the Lord. The world of hypocrisy can be checked only by counteraction through devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. Maharaj Yudhisthira, having observed the disparities, conjectured the disappearance of the Lord from the earth. In course of time, text 5, it came to pass that people in general became accustomed to greed, anger, pride, etc. Maharaj Yudhisthira, observing all these omens, spoke to his younger brother. He was astonished. His younger brother is Bhima. Maharaj Yudhisthira said to his younger brother Bhimasena, I sent Arjuna to Dwarka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead Krishna of his program of work. Since he departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I do not know factually how things are going there. Is he going, he, meaning Krishna, going to quit his earthly pastimes, as Devarshi Narada indicated? Has that time already arrived? So Prabhupada's purport is very long and quite wonderful about the Lord's disappearance and why he left the Virata Rupa, his universal form. But we'll just read from the last part of the last paragraph. His quitting, Krishna's quitting one sort of body or accepting another body does not mean that he is like the ordinary living being. All such activities are simultaneously one and different by his inconceivable potency. When Maharaj Yudhisthira was lamenting the possibility of his disappearance, it was just in pursuance of a custom of lamenting the disappearance of a great friend. But factually, the Lord never quits his transcendental body, as is misconceived by less intelligent persons. Such less intelligent persons have been condemned by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita, and they are known as the Mudha. As the Lord left his body means that he left again his plenary portions in the respective dhams, transcendental abodes, as he left his Virata Rupa in the material world. Because at the time of Krishna's, when he is coming, when he incarnates, all the different incarnations join within him, including the Virata Rupa, which is considered the material manifestation of Krishna, because everything ultimately is none different from Krishna. So all the other incarnations went to their appropriate dhams, and the Virata Rupa was left behind in the material world, and thus the materialists saw that Krishna had left his body behind, but he left behind his Virata Rupa. So Yudhisthira Maharaj continued, from him only all our kingly opulence, good wives, lives, progeny, control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us. So the Pandava success, because Krishna, as we heard, left after 125 autumns. So Krishna was on the planet 90 years, the battle of Kurukshetra took place. So therefore Yudhisthira ruled for approximately 35 years. And there was no difficulties during that rule due to the presence of Krishna. So therefore Prabhupada at the end of the purport says, despite the most advanced treatment of a suffering patient by the most up-to-date medical practitioner, there is death. And even in the most hopeless case without medical treatment, a patient is cured astonishingly. Therefore, the conclusion is that God's sanction is the immediate cause for all happenings, good or bad. Any successful man should feel grateful to the Lord for all that he has achieved. Now, Yudhisthira begins speaking further to Bhim. Just see, O man with a tiger's strength, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions, and bodily pains, all very dangerous in themselves, are foreboding danger in the near future by deluding our intelligence. The left side of my body, My thighs, arms, and eyes are all quivering again and again. I'm having heart palpitations due to fear. All this indicates undesirable happenings. Just see, O Bhim, how the she-jackal cries at the rising sun and vomits fire, and how the dog barks at me fearlessly. Bad omens. O Bhimasena, tiger amongst men, now useful animals like cows are passing me on my left side, and lower animals like the asses are circumambulating me. My horses appear to be weeping upon seeing me. Just see! This pigeon is like a messenger of death. The shrieks of the owls and their rival crows makes my heart tremble. It appears that they want to make void of the whole universe. Just see how the smoke encircles the sky. It appears that the earth and mountains are throbbing. Just hear the cloudless thunder and see the bolts from the blue. The wind blows violently, blasting dust everywhere and creating darkness. Clouds are raining everywhere with bloody disasters. The rays of the sun are declining, and the stars appear to be fighting amongst themselves. Confused living entities appear to be ablaze and weeping. Rivers, tributaries, ponds, reservoirs, and the mind are all perturbed. Butter no longer ignites fire. What is this extraordinary time? What is going to happen? The calves do not suck the teats of the cows, nor do the cows give milk. They are standing, crying, tears in their eyes, and the bulls take no pleasure in the pasturing ground. The deities seem to be crying in the temple, lamenting and perspiring. They seem about to leave. All the cities, villages, towns, gardens, mines, and hermitages are now devoid of beauty and bereft of all happiness. I do not know what sort of calamities are now awaiting us. I think that all these earthly disturbances indicate some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. The world was fortunate to have been marked with the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. These signs indicate that this will no longer be. O Brahmana Shanaka. So who is speaking? Sutta. O Maharaj Yudhisthira, observing the inauspicious signs on the earth at that time, was thus thinking to himself. Arjuna came back from the city of the Yadus, Dwarka. When he bowed at his feet, at Yudhisthira's feet, the king saw that Arjuna's dejection was unprecedented. His head was down and tears glided from his lotus eyes. Seeing Arjuna pale due to heartfelt anxieties, the king, remembering the indications of the sage Narada, questioned him in the midst of friends. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, "My dear brother, please tell me whether our friends and relatives, such as Maru Bhoja, Dasaha, Arha, Satvita, Satvata, Andaka, and the members of the Yadu family, are all passing their days in happiness. Is my respectable grandfather, Sarasena, in a happy mood? And are my maternal uncles, Vasudeva, and his younger brother, all doing well? His seven wives, headed by Devaki, are all sisters. Are they and their sons and daughters-in-laws, all happy? Are Ugrasena, whose son was the mischievous Kamsa, and his younger brother still living? Are Ridika and his son Kritavarma happy? Are Akura, Jayanta, Gada, Sharana, and Shatrujit all happy? How is Balaram, the personality of Godhead and the protector of devotees? How is Balaram?" From about the last third of Prabhupada's purport, Sri Ram, or Balaram, is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. Balaram acts as the spiritual master of all devotees, and by his causeless mercy, the fallen souls are delivered. Sri Baladeva appeared as Sri Nityananda Prabhu during the advent of Lord Chaitanya, And the great Lord Nityananda Prabhu exhibited his causeless mercy by delivering a pair of extremely fallen souls, namely Jagai and Madhai. Therefore, it's particularly mentioned herein that Balaram is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. By his divine grace only, one can approach the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. And thus, Sri Balaram is the mercy incarnation of the Lord, manifested as the spiritual master, the savior of the pure devotees. Yudhisthira Maharaj continued his questions. How is Prajumna, the great general of the Brishni family? Is he happy? And is Aniruddha, the plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead, faring well? Are all the chieftain sons of Lord Krishna, such as Susena, Charudesna, Samba, the son of Jambavati, and Rishabh, along with their sons, are they all doing well? Also, Shutadev, Uddhava, and others, Nanda, Sunanda, and other leaders of liberated souls who are constant companions of the Lord, they are protected by Lord Balaram and Krishna. Are they all doing well in their respective functions? Do they, who are all eternally bound in friendship with us, remember our welfare? Prabhupada's purport. The jiva tattvas are infinitesimal potential particles of the Lord, and they require the protection of the Lord at all times. At all times, not just some of the times. And to the eternal servitors of the Lord is pleased to give all protection at all times, not just some of the times. The liberated souls never, therefore, think themselves as free as the Lord or as powerful as the Lord, but they always seek the protection of the Lord in all circumstances. That is the difference between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. A liberated soul always seeks the protection of the Lord, and a conditioned soul, he doesn't look in that direction at all. His false ego is so big. Who do I need? In any case, whoever I need, I don't need God. Then that is the nature of a conditioned soul. So the liberated souls always seek the protection of the Lord in all circumstances, both in the material world and in the spiritual world. This dependence of the liberated soul is constitutional. What does that mean? It is constitutional. Huh? Yes, inherit, can't be changed. I wasn't thinking of that, but that's right. What else? It's the foundational part of his nature. This is who he is. Jivera Sarupoi Krishna. Swarupa, his own form. Krishna of Krishna. Nityada, servant of Krishna. This is constitutional possession, dependent upon Krishna. So the dependence of the liberated soul is constitutional, for the liberated souls are like sparks of a fire that are able to exhibit the glow of the fire with the fire, along with the fire, and not independently. Independently, the glow of the sparks is extinguished, although the quality of the fire or the glowing is there. Thus, those who give up the protection of the Lord and become so-called lords themselves out of spiritual ignorance come back again to this material world even after prolonged tapasya of the severest type. That is the verdict of all Vedic literatures. And about the next verse, and verses 34 through 38, Srila Swami comments that they should all be understood because they all are about Govinda or Krishna. Because Yudhisthira has asked Arjuna about all the members of the Yadu dynasty, but he has not yet asked about Krishna. So Srila Srila Swami says that all the next five verses, 34 to 38, should be understood to, practically speaking, have a last line of, is that Govinda well? Is Lord Krishna, Yudhisthira asked, Bhagavan Appi Govinda, Govindo, Brahmanyo, Bhaktavatsala, Kachit Pure, Sudamayam, Sukamaste, Suridvrita? Is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who gives pleasure to the cows, the senses, and the brahmana, who is very affectionate towards his devotees? Is he enjoying the pious assembly at Dwarkapuri, surrounded by friends? Is that Govinda well? We'll read the beginning of this purport by Prabhupada. Here in this particular verse, the Lord is described as Bhagavan, Govinda, Brahmanya, and Bhaktavatsal. He is Bhagavan Swayam, or the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with all opulences, all power, all knowledge, all beauty, all fame, and all renunciation. No one is equal or greater than him. He is Govinda because he is the pleasure of the cows and the senses. Those who have purified their senses by devotion, by the devotional service of the Lord, can render unto him real service and thereby derive transcendental pleasure out of such purified senses. Only the impure conditioned living being cannot derive any pleasure from the senses. But being illusioned by false pleasures of the senses, he becomes servant of the senses. Therefore, we need his protection, Govinda's protection, for our own interest. Is that Govinda well? 35 to 36. The original personality of Godhead, the enjoyer, and Balaram, the primeval lord Ananta, are staying in the ocean of the Yadu dynasty for the welfare, protection, and general progress of the entire universe. And the members of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of the Lord, are enjoying life like the residents of the spiritual sky. Is that Govinda well? Simply by administering comforts at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the most important of all services, the queens at Dwarka, headed by Satyabhama, induced the Lord to conquer the demigods. Thus the queens enjoy things which are prerogatives of the wives of the controllers of thunderbolts. Is that Govinda well? The great heroes of the Yadu dynasty, being protected by the arms of Lord Sri Krishna, always remain fearless in every respect. And therefore their feet trample over the Sudharma assembly house, which the best demigods deserved, but which was taken away from them. Is that Govinda well? We'll read from the second paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. A forgetful conditioned soul is fearful, but a liberated soul is never fearful. Just as a small child completely depends on the mercy of his father is never fearful of anyone. Fearfulness is a sort of illusion for the living being when he is in slumber and forgetting his eternal relation with the Lord. Since the living being is never to die by his constitution, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2:20, what is the Sanskrit? Najayate Mriyate, yes? Is that it? Nayam Budva. Utona Budva. Buddha. Nahanyate Hanyamane Sherele. He is not slain when the body is slain. Then, if that is the truth, what is the cause of fearfulness? A person may be fearful of a tiger in a dream, but another man who is awake by his side sees no tiger there. The tiger is a myth for both of them, namely the person dreaming and the person awake, because actually there is no tiger. But the man forgetful of his awakened life is fearful, whereas the man who has not forgotten his position is not at all fearful. Thus the members of the Yadu dynasty were fully awake in their service to the Lord, and therefore there was no tiger for them to be afraid of at any time. And even if there was a real tiger, the Lord was there to protect them. Now, as we read the following verses, which will basically conclude to the end of the chapter, It's interesting. It is not the essence of what we're reading about. But Yudhisthira is noting the distress and the grief on the face of Arjuna. And he's inquiring, although he knows by now what the cause of the problem is, but he's inquiring from Arjuna, what could have caused you this type of distress and grief? So according to one's personality, one's character, one's integrity, different things will cause distress and grief. So note what kind of things cause distress to this noble Kshatriya's character that Yudhisthira is saying, could these possibly do it? So he said, my brother Arjuna, please tell me whether your health is all right. You appear to have lost your bodily luster. Is this due to others disrespecting and neglecting you because of your long stay in Dwarka? Has someone addressed you with unfriendly words or threatened you? Could you not give charity to one who asked? Or could you not keep your promise to someone? You were always the protector of the deserving living beings, such as brahmanas, children, cows, women, and the diseased. Could you not give them protection when they approached you for shelter? Is this the reason of your distress? Have you contacted a woman of impeachable character? Or have you not properly treated a deserving woman? Or have you been defeated on the way by someone who is inferior or equal to you? Have you not taken care of old men and boys who deserve to dine with you? Have you left them and taken your meals alone? Have you committed some unpardonable mistake which is considered to be abominable? Or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Oh, my brother Arjuna, I can think of no other reason for your becoming so dejected. Prabhupada's short purport. All the inquisitiveness of Maharaj Yudhisthira about the world situation was already conjectured by Maharaj Yudhisthira on the basis of Lord Krishna's disappearance from the vision of the world. And this was now disclosed by him because of the acute dejection of Arjuna, which could not have been possible otherwise. So even though he was doubtful about it, he was obliged to inquire frankly from Arjuna on the basis of Sri Narada's indication. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports. First canto, 14th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. Yes, it seems. 7 months, right? It said 7 months. So, let's see, is it conceivable? 90, because it said clearly that Krishna lived for 125 autumns. Lord Brahma said that, 125 years. And then minus 90. Because Yudhisthira started the rule at the end of Battle of Kurukshetra, after the Battle of Kurukshetra, and according to the information that I had, but I can't remember where I got it from, that the Battle of Kurukshetra took, basically, the question was, why do they return to Indraprastha, not Hastinapur? But they're basically the same. Yes? Didn't they establish? No. I thought they had Indraprastha was established by the Pandavas previously. That's what I remembered. And Hastinapur was the capital, the actual capital. But it's basically the same. They're both in the Delhi. So where did he return to? No, it's Delhi. They're both the same. They're both in the same area. Which verse is it where it says again? Oh, in the 11th canto. Where? Tell me where. What verse? Okay, after you find it, then I'll look and say, I don't know. Next chapter, we'll hear what happened when he was bringing them back. That's in the next chapter. On the fire, but I don't. Yeah, but obviously some didn't. But yeah, because Krishna had given the specific instruction that they left. They didn't go there. They didn't go to Prabhachetra, because Krishna had said to bring them to. Yes, if a guest who stays too long gets neglected. And what did Prabhupada say? The way to, when there's a guest who is staying too long, the way to get rid of him is the same way that you get rid of a fever. And that is, don't feed. Give it no nourishment. Then they get the picture. Yes. Yes, Brajra. Krishna's great grandson. Jamanjaya's Pariksit's son. And Brajnav came to this area, Mathura? Yes, and then he went around and he established deities in many places and also renamed. He found out where Krishna had performed every pastime that he possibly could, that he could find out where Krishna did this and Krishna that. And he renamed villages to commemorate those places. So therefore, because of Brajanam, the villages in Brajadam very often mostly have names having to do with Krishna's pastimes. The implication is they were in Dwarka. Yes. Why? Why would you think? Because they're the lords of Vaikuntha, personal associates, is that why? It seemed like, theoretically, seemingly they left their body, but they remain eternally there. Whoever stayed remains eternally there. They basically just go from prakat lila to aprakat lila, from manifest lila to unmanifest lila. But seemingly, if everything crashes in, it would seem, though, I mean, that people would leave if they knew, unless they knew this was their part in the lila, the drama, and they were just changing their costume, so to speak. They just go to Aprakat Lila. Yes. Just like it describes, Drona and Dara. They performed austerities to become the mother and father of Krishna. But then Krishna's mother and father are eternal. So how what is the reconciliation of that? So these were individuals who wanted that service. So those individuals become merged in the body of the eternal Devaki and Vasudev, like that, or maybe that one's Sutapta and Prishni also, or something, for Nanda and Yasoda too. That's Nanda Yasoda, or? Okay. So it's a little esoteric and, yes. Yes. What do they do there? Why did the demigods also went back to the heavenly planets? Why? There was some specific service they had to do. Huh? They came from there and they joined from there and they went back there. Specifically, I don't know. But any other esoteric questions? Okay. Then we'll get off early today. But tomorrow, shall read, continue this amazing pastime. Huh? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.